Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Ty.
And I'm Jesse.
And we bring you habits of successful people. Today we're talking about
Fubbing.
We switched each other's up. Activate.
We're already off on a wrong foot.
I started. I never start. You're always the one to start.
That was weird. What did we do? We didn't even like
talk about that first. Who's listening right now says, that's it. My routine is thrown off.
That's
and
awful.
They screwed it up for me. Now my day is ruined. Thanks. Thanks, Jesse and Ty. Thanks, Jesse and Ty. Well, good morning, everyone. We are the Morning Struggle Podcast. We bring you habits of successful people. We have a listener-suggested episode today.
Yes, and this
You are so excited.
I am so excited. Well, it's a listener-suggested one. They didn't want to be identified.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I am so excited because they actually emailed me.
They emailed you to themorningstrugglepodcast@gmail.com.
We talked about topics.
Okay.
And now the topic is being put on the podcast.
That's how magic happens, folks.
That is how it works.
Okay, what's the topic today?
Fubbing.
Fubbing, which is what?
Snubbing with your phone.
Phone snubbing.
Yes.
Pushed together is fubbing.
Mm-hmm.
With a PH.
PHUBBING.
Okay, so we're going to talk about how you can be snobbish and use your phone for evil. Is that what we're going to do?
Yes.
And your group of mean girls,
mm-hmm.
you can all use your phones to just battle each other.
Ooh.
Is that what we're
doing?
Are
you battling each other? Wouldn't those girls be your posse and then you'd be battling
They're frenemies. You don't get to the top without clawing some eyeballs out, especially those of your friends.
Whoa.
Do you know nothing about mean girl groups?
I guess not. I don't know.
Well, I'm an expert, so I'll just take all three segments. So we do a history of something related.
Mm-hmm.
We do a science.
Yep.
We do a coffee segment. And then we talk about an action plan.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to tell us how to be in the hierarchy, the top spot of the mean girl group.
The top
by using
queen.
The queen bee, mm-hmm. by using your phone for manipulation tactics.
No, I'm going to tell you why how not to do that. That's silly.
So how to be polite on your phone? Is that
well,
what we're
why we do it? Because here's the thing: fubbing at this point, which I also had to look up because I was like, "That sounds like a swear word."
Yep.
But the fubbing is a very common thing, and all of us have done it. You've done it. I've done it. Everybody's done it.
I don't do it all ever.
Yes, you do.
I'm the most polite phone user you've ever experienced.
That is absolutely.
That's
not
because
true.
I get my rotary phone out and I call you on the phone, and I say, "Hello, chap. Would you like to go to the market?" And that's what I do.
And I say yes.
Yeah. I might be the only person who still calls people. Do you call people?
I do, but...
Yeah. I don't.
I have, on a professional capacity, I don't have anybody other than you to
I've had people literally say, why are you calling me and not texting me right now? Or Insta-facing me. Everybody Insta-faces now.
What is an Insta-face?
Insta-face. You take a picture of your face and you instantly send it on over the internet.
You put it in an envelope, mm-hmm. and then you put their address on it. Mm-hmm. You have to put a stamp because it's very important.
Uh-huh.
And then you send it to them.
Yep. Stamps are expensive now too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's because no one's buying them. I'm the only guy buying them.
Oh, speaking of which.
Yes.
I want to send out St. Patrick's Day cards. So if you want one of my special St. Patrick's Day cards,
uh-huh.
email me your address. I'm legit going to send you a St. Patrick's Day card.
Okay.
I already got them.
So email her, themorningstrugglepodcast@gmail.com or themorningstruggle.podbean.com has all the links to everything.
Yep.
You got our cool sweatshirts and hats and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a newsletter.
We have the newsletter.
So go get the newsletter. It's a freebie. Jessie works her tail off on it. And if you're on the newsletter, she'll probably send you a card as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. But let's get back into fubbing. I'll give you a quick history, and then we'll go from there.
This day in history.
I'll give you one guess on what my history segment is going to be about today.
Top 10 phone awesome things.
I'm not doing a top 10 today.
Oh.
I'm just doing a chronological history of phones.
Oh, no kidding.
So those of you who like my top 10 lists, you're welcome. Those of you who don't like my top 10 lists, you're welcome.
You're welcome in general.
Here you go. History of phones. 17th century. That's the 1600s. That's mm-hmm. a long time ago.
It is.
iPhone was invented. No, wait. Hold on. I got my stats
mixed
up.
Opposite.
People in the 17th century started experimenting with pipes and strings to transmit sound.
Oh, yeah. We all did this.
The tin can and the string.
Yeah.
Or the long tube where you talk into and someone puts their ear up to. I bet you people were doing this before. But,
yeah.
But this is the first recorded. Mm-hmm. So the first one, the tin can telephone. This is where we discovered that sound was vibrations.
Oh,
so the
yeah,
reason
yeah,
that
yeah.
works is you talk into the can, it condenses your vibrations into the string and then goes out. And then those vibrations get expanded and amplified on the other can. So you can hear the person talking. Not very well. And it doesn't actually work.
It's like,
but you think that it works. But this was Robert Hooke in the 17th century was known in 1667 for conducting one of the first tin can experiments.
I love that this is things that kids were doing, and then some grown man
in a university said, oh, I'm going to do an experiment on that. Mm-hmm. And then he got funding, and someone's paying him to sit around playing with kids' toys.
Yeah.
The next one is the speaking tube. You've probably seen this on playgrounds, where you have two cones with a pipe connected to it.
Oh, and that's super cool. Like, kids love that, where they're talking to some other random kid on the other side of the playground.
It really works. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Sir Francis Bacon was one of the first ones to suggest that pipes could transmit speech.
Could you imagine spending all that time, and then now in the future, it's just on kids' playgrounds?
Because it used to be on ships, real ships, military aircraft, expensive automobiles, and expensive homes.
Ooh.
So you were in your big mansion. I don't want to walk all the way to the basement to tell my chef to make me some cookies. I'm just going to yell at him through my cone tube. Okay, so then we start getting into the era.
Wait, how would it work in an automobile?
Maybe you got a limousine.
Oh.
And you want to talk to your driver. Say, hey, driver, stop over at the money store. I need some of my money because it's only in expensive cars. The next one, we start getting into the electrical period. The electric telegraph. It was pretty much the first telephone. The telegraph used Morse code.
Yeah, right? Like they had on ships.
So it was the first text messaging. We did text messaging, then we went to voice, and we said, this was a dumb idea, let's go back to texting. And now we InstaFace. So switches will control the flow of current. That's how a telegraph works. You take the little tapper, and you touch it, and you complete the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so then an electric pulse goes through the line,
yeah.
And when you let it up, the electric pulse stops.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have a receiving device with an electromagnetic charge that reads those pulses.
Oh.
And then dots and dashes in different orders signify different letters, and then you slowly get a message across.
Oh.
There's a needle telegraph and a telegraph sounder, the two types of telegraphs.
Oh.
So let's talk about the people. Who invented the telephone?
Okay.
Do you know who invented the telephone?
Nope.
Most people would say Alexander Graham Bell.
Yep.
Not even close. Bell, I'm not so sure. He was so great at all.
Oh.
I know. I'm throwing it down in this podcast.
The Bell fans
you heard
out there.
Me. I know. I'm going to get some hate email on that one. But people have been working with sound transmission over telegraphs long before Alexander Graham Bell came up with his ideas and his patents. We'll talk about patents here.
Oh, yeah.
But the first one, Antonio Meucci.
Oh, Meucci.
He is probably the first person to actually develop sound over transmission lines.
Oh.
So people have been sending and receiving letters.
Right.
He said, this is dumb. This takes me 3 weeks to get a letter to a person on a horse. It's too slow, too inefficient. He was Italian, and he said, I've got a simpler, more efficient way of communicating. So he invented the talking telegraph and is now credited for creating the first basic phone in 1849.
So it's like a voice memo.
Uh-huh. And then a little bit later, a Belgium person born in Belgium, raised in France. His name was Charles Broussel. He worked as an engineer for a telegraph company. And he transmitted speech electronically by creating an electromagnetic telephone. I'm having a hard time with electromagnetic this morning. But unfortunately, his receiving device was unable to convert the signal back.
Oh.
So he could send signal, but he couldn't get it back.
Mm.
So that led the way to Joanne Philip Rees.
Yeah.
So Philip Rees was an instrumental in the invention of the telephone in 1861. They invented the microphone or the singing station. Because they wanted to transmit music over the lines.
Oh, see, that's a better reason.
So they've been working on this for a long time, called it the microphone, invented the name, and who came along and said, that's a great idea, I'll patent it.
Was it Bell?
Thomas Edison.
Oh, Edison.
Thomas Edison. People actually don't really like Thomas Edison. The more you get into it, he's just a guy with a lot of money that took a bunch of knickknacks from people and then patented them.
Is
and
that
then,
what that was?
And
like
then
he was running around gathering things up and then
he was more of an entrepreneur than an actual inventor.
Oh.
Those of you who really like Edison, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
He electrified elephants.
Uh-huh. So he did. And so this David Edwin Hughes invented the carbon microphone, and then Edison took credit for it. And then he went out and got a patent because this Hughes guy said this should be technology for the world. And Edison said, it should be, and they should all pay me for it. So that's
interesting.
Where he won a patent battle, and he was officially credited with inventing the microphone.
How did he win that money?
Money. Money wins everything. It's okay. Alicia Gray was the co-founder of Electric Manufacturing Company and invented the first telephone prototype. Guess who stole that one? Alexander Graham Bell.
Yes.
Yep. So there have been several allegations that Bell stole the idea of a liquid transmitter from Alicia. So she invented, I think it's a female, Alicia? Maybe it's not. I don't know who this person is, but they invented this liquid transmitter. And then this Alexander Graham Bell, again, took it and patented it.
So
just kind of pushed them out.
Interesting.
Now, that being said, Edison and Bell, great entrepreneurs. They developed giant companies with lots of money and backers.
Yeah, they made it so everybody could have it, but still.
Yeah, but there are things where you come up with a great invention, you want the world to have it, but you just don't have the means to do that. Mm-hmm. So someone comes in and pushes it to the masses, has whatever mojo, and Elon Musk's of the world.
Yeah.
Just gets it done.
But history is far more complex than just like, this guy invented it, and then it went this way.
Yep. Like, yep. And so the reason they were like Antonio Meucci and Philip Reese, the reasons they weren't able to get patents on these things is they didn't have a complete device. They had these big pieces of it. And then someone like Graham Bell or Edison comes in and takes a bunch of little things and puts it together and says, I own this now.
Well, isn't that part of a patent is you have to prove it works?
Yep. You got to prove that it works.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's pretty much it. I got a few more things on this. The first permanent outdoor telephone wire. So we got all these telephones, right?
Right.
We got all this technology. Well, how do you make it work? You need all these lines. The first permanent outdoor telephone wire was placed in Nevada County, California. Not Nevada, the state, but California, the state, in 1877.
Whoa.
It was 97 kilometers long. It was operated by the Ridge Telephone Company. So you start getting telephone lines. Well, you start getting all these telephone lines, they only go person to person.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to talk to you across the town, I need a line from me to you,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you want to talk to Murph, it was all over the place. So they came up with what's called the telephone exchange.
Is that the switchboard?
Connects individual subscribers, enabling users to connect with each other, or a web like a switchboard. So where the switchboard came in. It was, we can't have everybody having lines to each other.
Yeah.
Let's go to a central location, a telephone connection, and then we can patch to different locations.
Would have loved that job. You want to know why?
Why?
I would know all the gossip.
You would know the hot goss because you're listening in all the time. You think the government listens to you now?
Yeah.
Think about when they're controlling your telephones. But the Bell Telephone Company created the first exchange in 1877. Then we had transcontinental lines. The first long distance call took place in 1915.
That's
between
a really
New
long
York
line.
And San Francisco between Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Watson. I don't know what they talked about. I bet you someone does. Let me know. Tell me what they did. And then we had a transatlantic phone call that happened afterwards. And then we started having mobile phones. AT&T from Bell Labs introduced the first mobile service in 1946.
Whoa, really?
Mm-hmm. So that's it. And then the rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to hear some cool facts? Do I have time for some cool facts?
Go for it.
I got a few. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go. Mobile phones are dirtier than toilet handles. They're the dirtiest things in the world, mobile phones are. You touch them all over the place. Yep.
Ooh.
Yep. 18 more types of bacteria found than on a toilet seat.
I believe it, because you don't wash your phone.
You don't wash your phone at all. You probably should wash your phone, and they're all waterproof. Now you're good. Did you know your mobile phone is more powerful than a spaceship? Apple's A15 chip, well, they're on like the M chips now, has more technology than the Apollo 11 moon landing.
Whoa.
The charger for the MacBook has more technology in it than the Apollo 11 moon landing.
No kidding.
That's according to NASA too. Mm-hmm. You can charge your phone with your urine, just in case you wanted to know.
What?
Yeah, scientists can charge phones with urine.
How does that work?
All electrification is you're just moving electrons from one place to another place.
Yeah.
So you ionize it and boom, you can charge your phone.
How would you even go about that?
I don't know. The last one, you ready? This one I really like.
Uh-huh.
Nokia and Morse code. We talked about Morse code.
Yeah.
Right? That was like the start of telephones.
Uh-huh.
Well, Nokia. Do you remember Nokia?
Yeah.
The Nokia phones? You had Snake on the phone? The game, Snake.
Yeah, but I don't...
The little line that went through.
When did this occur?
The Snake?
No.
Nokia phones that came out in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s. 2008 was the iPhone release. So before the iPhone came out, it was all Nokia.
If you
didn't have a Nokia phone, you were a nobody. You could be playing Snake.
I had a pager.
You, oh, jeez. But Nokia loved Morse code. And so did you know the Morse code ringtone actually is a Morse code for connecting people? So if out the Morse code of the ringtone, it says connecting people, which was their motto and their whatever their branding.
Oh, that's cute. Someone thought that through. I like that.
Really a lot. So there you go. That's it. That's what I got for phones.
Oh, that's interesting.
Not the most groundbreaking history segment, but very informative. Mm-hmm. And now when you're at a cocktail party and someone says, I'm the descendant of Alexander Graham Bell. Like, you say, for shame, sir. For shame.
And you throw your drink in their face.
And you throw your phone at them. And you say, you can have it back. You patent everything that's not yours. Take this too, sir. You throw the phone at him. And he says, wow, you're kind of mean. I'm an accountant.
Yeah, I'm just a nice guy.
And then you got to talk to Jesse about how to improve your emotions. So, okay. Well, there you go. There's a history segment. So let's get back on track with fubbing, mm-hmm. how to snub people with your phone. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about what does your brain. And then we'll talk about a coffee segment. And we'll talk about how to not do that or how to use your phone effectively. I'm
yes,
guessing.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Okay, so fubbing refers to the act of prioritizing your phone over engaging in a social interaction.
Oh my, everybody does this. You're gonna solve this problem?
I am.
No way. This happens 100 times a day. Everybody's in a room. Well, my favorite one is when everyone's around a table, the television's on, and every single person's on their phone.
Yeah.
That is my favorite. And you put your phone down and you just look around at everybody. You could stare at everybody in an awkward way mm-hmm. for hours. No one's even going to look up and notice.
Well, and that's the thing. This is actually a really big issue in today's society. And let me tell you why. So what happens when someone prioritizes their phone over us is that we feel resentment.
Towards that person?
Yes. So the anterior cingulate, oh my goodness, cingulate cortex, the ACC, is the part of the brain that detects social distress.
We've talked about the ACC before. Okay, mm-hmm. Social distress, it detects it.
Yeah. And so we have been snubbed.
You've been snubbed.
In the social interaction. And so the ACC is enacted. So then what happens, which is kind of weird, but it predicts that we want approval and acceptance. And so we seek the dopamine reward system in our brain by
getting on our phones. Mm-hmm. So when someone pulls out their phone and you get the urge to pull out your phone, it's because you want a dopamine response because you feel slighted by that person.
Yeah. Even if you're not thinking it through, even if there's not an actual thought process involved in it, because the ACC actually doesn't engage the prefrontal cortex at all.
So you're not thinking. You're just acting.
Yep, you're just acting. And so we want a dopamine response because we feel slated. And so we seek our phone because our phone is a great source for little bits of dopamine that are hollow.
So you're saying if someone pulls out their phone in front of you, instead of pulling your phone out, you keep a little bag of cookies in your pocket. Then you just snack on a cookie.
You're going to know.
No, is that
then
what
you're going to be eating cookies all the time.
This is amazing.
All the time. Okay. But here's the thing. You get that dopamine response because then you go, oh, I'm going to check my email because someone has emailed me, mm-hmm. right? And so, but it's not a true reward system because what it is, it's just kind of a Band-Aid for your social distress that you've just experienced.
Okay.
Because an in-person social interaction has way more hormones than just dopamine. And so, but our phone can only really give us dopamine.
So we need more than just dopamine, but that's what we go to.
Yep.
Okay.
So why we fub? So boredom, which every time, see, you're actually pretty good. The times that you bring out your phone is usually like an emergency text from the system.
I get a lot of emergency texts or I need to solve a problem.
Yeah.
But some of the problems I need to solve are not real problems.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just pull it out to solve problems that I made up.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so boredom can be one of it. So if we're in a conversation and you're losing track of the conversation, you might pull out your phone for boredom reasons because you're looking for a stimulus.
Okay.
Because in our day-to-day now, we have so much stimulus mm-hmm. that if that dips at all, we have the impulse to increase the stimulus because that's what we're comfortable with.
Makes sense.
Yeah. We want revenge. So we want to hurt others. So if
In general or just the person who's fubbing us?
No, just in general. So here's the thing with revenge. Revenge actually comes with a dopamine response.
So when I'm vengeful, mm-hmm. when I say, I want to get this person back. I get dopamine. I get the good feelers in my brain.
You do.
Nice.
Yeah. No, no, not nice.
Yeah. Oh, it's a nice.
Not nice. Because it's a hollow thing. Because what happens is you do get that dopamine response, but then your prefrontal cortex goes, oh, we just keyed someone's car.
Whoa, you That's went to problem. Keying cars?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I went to just pull my phone out while they were talking to me. You well, went you, right to the keying.
You and I have very different ideas of revenge.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay.
So, but we get that dopamine response, but then the prefrontal cortex goes, oh, crap.
Right.
Like, what did we do?
Okay.
Social distress, which is any type of, you know, social distress that we encounter. So if I'm waving at people down the street and no one waves back at me, I can take that as a social distress and then want approval and all of that. So then I seek approval through my phone.
Okay.
Which is interesting and kind of sad. And escapism. So we're trying to, our day is stressful. Cortisol levels are high. We want relief from the cortisol. So we seek the dopamine. So here's with dopamine and cortisol. So if you increase your dopamine, it doesn't mean that your cortisol goes down.
Okay. So your cortisol could stay elevated and keep swelling
probably,
your brain.
Probably will be.
Okay.
So because if we're taking out our phone to get that dopamine response, the cortisol is actually staying the same. So the swelling in your brain is still occurring. Because we're not actually doing anything to decrease the cortisol. We're just increasing dopamine.
Okay. And dopamine is an addiction hormone.
It's a reward hormone.
So, well, that's why we're addicted to our phones.
Yes. Because
you keep getting these dopamine bumps.
And it says, yes, that was nice.
Okay.
All right. So it's the escapism. We're overstressed. We have a lot of cortisol. We want something to relieve it. But instead of actually relieving the cortisol, we're just increasing the dopamine.
Okay.
So, the former vice president of user growth on Facebook said, and I quote, "The short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we are creating are destroying how society works."
Whoa. So, the person who is in charge of Facebook, whatever.
The user growth.
The user growth. Mm-hmm. Who needed... So
they need people to
use it. I'm responsible for growing the company, mm-hmm. said we are destroying people.
Yes.
Oh, are they still there?
No, they're the former vice president.
Oh, the former vice president. Yep. What do they do? They probably have a farm.
They probably have a farm.
Probably have a farm.
And they're not connected at all, uh-huh. because they're like, absolutely not.
No, John Deere, tangent real quick.
Okay.
John Deere tractors just signed a contract with Starlink, so their tractors are going to be hooked up to the internet in space.
Oh, no kidding.
So you can't be a farmer anymore, because then you're going to be snubbing.
That's true.
You're going to be tractor snubbing. So, all right, but keep going.
Yeah. So, but it is interesting that the person who their job is to get us addicted to it, mm-hmm. is like, oh yeah, we're destroying society.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty bad. And here's the thing. So we actually have four main reward pathways within the brain, and three are activated when we have our phones. And the reason being is because of the social element of it. Social media, email, news, YouTube, even movies and shows enact a reward system in our brain, the social reward system, because we believe we're engaging in that other person, even though we're not. So it's a hollow engagement. So like with movies, like or shows, Charlie from Lost.
Sure.
Okay. I really, really like that character.
You were so mad when he died.
Oh, I was so mad when he died, but right. He died in such a great way, too. Mm-hmm. It was so good. But the reason why...
Oh, my gosh, we just ruined Lost for everybody who hadn't seen Lost yet.
If you haven't seen Lost by now...
You can't, we got to put a disclaimer now on the front of the podcast saying, if you haven't seen Lost, do not listen to this episode.
This is ridiculous.
Okay, keep going.
The reason why we get so attached to these characters on our shows is because of the reward networks in our brain.
Okay, so you loving Friends or Suits or whatever it is,
yeah.
There's an actual chemical response happening in your brain.
Yeah.
You are not weird. This is actually happening.
Yeah, that's why you get connected to these characters. The thing is that character is not engaging you. And so it's more of a hollow dopamine response reward system,
right.
than if I was to connect with a fellow human being in a physical form.
So you got to go connect with real people.
Yeah, you got to go have coffee with them. You have to go on walks, whatever the things are, because that actually enacts other hormones like oxytocin, for example,
right.
that create a happier brain, uh-huh. and better attachments.
But if I ask Charlie to put on his show, he's going to do it because it's a click of a button.
Exactly.
Ask someone else to go on a walk with me, they absolutely could say no, and then I'm a weirdo.
Yep. And then there's, you have social distress.
Mm-hmm. But is there more reward then?
There is more reward. And that anything worth doing is hard.
Okay.
So that's the thing. If you want the big rewards, you have to do the hard things.
Put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised at what happens.
Yeah. So that's why this is actually being hijacked by all of our medias, mm-hmm. whatever it is, emails, all of these things. The three reward systems are being enacted. So it's a very difficult thing to battle, actually, okay. because your brain is very engaged in it. So, and here's one of the grossest things I found in research is, so on social media, the user growth units found that, so let's say you post a photo on one of your social media outlets, right? At first, maybe it doesn't get any likes or just very few. They kind of trickle in. So what's happening is that your dopamine centers are primed for those initial negative outcomes. So you post the picture, you check it because you want to see if it was socially accepted, right?
Right.
And it's not being socially accepted. So the reward systems freak out. They're like, oh my goodness, nobody likes me. We're having social distress, right? And so suddenly you're way more engaged in that app because you keep checking to see if somebody likes you, right? If you're okay, if you're socially accepted, right? And then what happens, and this is an actual algorithm that they use. So they will hold back likes and only let the likes trickle through for a certain amount of time and then flood the rest of the likes in there at a predetermined date. And what that does is then the reward systems in your brain have a robust, sudden influx of social appraisal, which has this huge influx of dopamine. So then you get the big dopamine dump.
And you want more.
Because it reinforces that. Now, if it was just a consistent, oh yeah, I get some likes, it's great, everybody thinks I'm all right, you wouldn't have the dopamine flood.
And this is an algorithm that's being used?
This is an actual computer algorithm that they use.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's to get you addicted to it because at first it's restricted and then it has the huge dump. So the system that's being put into place here, it is the exact same thing as slot machines in a casino.
What?
Yep. Because what happens is you have a certain amount of wins on a slot machine and then you have a certain amount of losses.
Right.
But you have to make sure that the amount of losses can balance out, and I say balance because it's not even, but enough to keep you continually giving the money to the slot machine.
You need enough dopamine hits to mm-hmm. stay there and keep pumping your money in. But yep. it's the same thing with your likes.
Yep.
Then that keeps you engaged, mm-hmm. keeps your eyes on your screen and yep. you in their app.
Yep. So that they
Gross.
Can continue to advertise and all this kind of stuff. And what it's doing is that it's creating us into habitual users.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like I need to throw my phone out the window now.
It's kind of gross, right?
Yeah. So what do? Do we go back to the Morse code?
Yeah.
Like, that's very inefficient, though. It would take forever. If you were to Morse code me your grocery list while I was at work, it would take all afternoon.
Yep.
It would take all afternoon.
Well, and in the action plan, we'll talk about actually how to make... Because all of these outlets, the social media and Correct. Email and news and all this, does have benefits.
Okay.
So just like anything, there's good things
so
you can do.
You're going to tell us how to do it properly.
How to make it sustainable so your brain isn't being hijacked by these people who are trying to get you to be on these apps longer.
Okay. All right. I like it. Well, let's get into a quick coffee. Is that it for science?
That's it for science.
Okay. Let's get into a quick coffee segment. And then Jesse will tell us. I really actually want to know this one because I am on my phone way too much. Mm-hmm. So whatever I can do to minimize that and have, you know, better relationships, I'm 100% in. So I'm going to pay attention on this one.
Yeah, this will be good. On this one?
Yeah, on this one.
Well, all the others, not so much, but this one.
I got to be honest. No, but seriously, I'm excited for this one. But let's get into the coffee quick, and then we'll go into that.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
Okay, so this was one of those...
This is not a coffee review. This is a coffee segment.
It's a coffee segment. But this was one of my research rabbit holes that ended up at the... I ended up at the bottom of the rabbit hole.
So you found... You got to the end of the internet.
Said,
that's it. That's it. Found the end of the internet, and it's not that great.
And it was like... Well, yeah. Okay. This is great.
Is it another one of those studies where someone says, let's take the most obvious thing in the world, let's put it into a study, and then let's see if academia will give me $10 million for the next 5 years to do this.
I would imagine they got some money off of these. But okay, so this is the University of Pecs in Hungary.
University of Pecs? Like my like chest muscles?
So I'm pretty sure that I'm pronouncing that wrong because I don't have that accent, but it's spelled Pecs.
Okay. All right. I like
and
it.
And it's in Hungary.
Okay.
And the supervising researcher was Trunk.
Trunk.
Mm-hmm.
So Professor Trunk and at the University of Pecs.
And there was literally...
So, like Trunk, like my torso, and Pecs, University of Pecs. This is fake.
And then
I'm just letting you know somebody is pulling a hoax on you.
Hungry is the tummy.
And hungry is your tummy. Yeah. This is too much.
No, this was actually, all right. There was an actual, this is
bring it up.
Peer-reviewed, peer-reviewed over 30 researchers. Like, this was an insane
over
amount.
30, yeah, yeah. Insane Dr. Arms went on, and he got his buddy, Mr. Yeah. Hips to figure all this stuff out. Okay, let's hear it.
This is not the best coffee segment. I'm not going to lie.
Let's hear it, though.
Okay, so loyalty programs. So people are more likely... Oh, let me preface this. This is how our smartphones have affected coffee. Okay? So people are more likely to be loyal to a chain now versus a specific shop like it was in years past. Starbucks, yeah. Or Beans and Brews or those kind of things. And it was kind of interesting because as it was moving along, the biggest change was actually shown in 2019. But then the pandemic hit and it tanked. But then it actually came back. Once everything opened back up, it went right back to this where people were starting to become more loyal to chains than they were to their specific shop. So before, people would go to a specific coffee shop because it was near their work or near their home.
Yeah, a little local coffee shop.
Yeah. And now people will pass over ones that are closer to them because they want to go to the Starbucks.
And I know why, because I have the Starbucks app.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear about it.
Yeah. So it's based on... It's very... Okay. So my next point is that there's very little physical money exchange now because of our smartphones.
No physical money exchange. It's crazy.
Very, very little. In fact, it's weird. You give people cash, they don't know what to do with it.
Right.
They don't know how to count out change and that kind of thing. The whole process is smoother. The math on tips, there's less like miscalculation with tips, which is kind of nice. But what apps are doing with these loyalty programs is they're giving you stars or beans or whatever for spending a certain amount of money with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and you purchase more coffee through them with your stars or beans, right? And then it's play money. You don't think of it as actual money. So you don't think of it as actually leaving your wallet when it most certainly is.
And that's why you'll spend $6 on a cold brew coffee mm-hmm. at Starbucks. You say, oh, I get a free coffee if I only do 50 more points.
Yeah.
Or 50 more stars.
Yeah.
Then you get your free coffee, but you didn't realize you just spent your entire paycheck on cold brew coffee.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah. So it's this make-believe money. It's a way to get more of your money
mm-hmm.
because you think you're not spending your money because you think it's like, oh, I got a free coffee, quote unquote, but nothing in this world is free. And so you're spending more money for your original coffees just to get this extra coffee at the end of the game.
And this was a study in Hungary
mm-hmm.
at the University of Pecs by Professor Trunk.
I have one more point.
All right, let's hear this.
The last point is that these apps that people are using, so little coffee shops probably don't have these apps.
Because they're expensive.
Because they're expensive to maintain and create and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
But the bigger ones do have them. And you can pre-order and then you just pick it up. Yep. Right.
Oh, the pre-order is huge. Yeah.
Huge. So statistically showing the lines are shorter because you've already pre-ordered it. And it actually shows that you like your coffee more the shorter the line is for the wait for it.
Wait, explain that to me. I missed that one.
So if I pre-order my cup of coffee and it's ready for me when I get there, I don't have to wait in line, which means I actually I like the taste of my coffee more.
Because you're a VIP.
Because I came in and I got the coffee. Now, it could be the exact same cup of coffee. It can even be like cold or not quite the way I wanted it.
So they studied your actual response to the coffee.
To the coffee itself.
You enjoyed it better when the line was shorter and they just got it.
Yeah. Which goes against a couple other mechanisms within humans about like effort bias and these different things. Where, like, if I have to work really hard to get my cup of coffee, in theory, I should like it more. But they didn't find that case here. If I go in, I get my coffee right away. I don't have to wait. I don't have to pay for it because I already paid it through my phone, which is imaginary money.
Maybe because it's a free-ish, quote-unquote, free cup of coffee because you didn't use real money.
Yep. So then you go in, you grab it, and you're out.
I like it.
Isn't that crazy? But kind of lackluster. Like when I got to the end of it, I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah.
But you know what? We need to validate obvious things because there's sometimes obvious things are not true.
Right. Where you're like, this is absolutely accurate.
Or there's a reason why it's obvious. You're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But yeah, these coffee chains are taking over. We talked about this. Every 3 hours, a Starbucks built.
Well, and
those poor construction workers. That's so fast. That's so fast.
But really, though, we do need to support our local roasters and our local coffee shops because they're not getting the benefits of these different things.
Right.
And so making sure that you're going to Coffee Creations and Eagle Mountain and your little local places that need our support.
Or if you're an app developer, develop an app for the local coffee shops and then pitch it to them. And have them a cheap licensing agreement where they put their little brand on there and then they can do stars.
Yeah, and they can...
Or dog bones, because we're always
doing dogs. Doing the whole dog thing.
Dog coffees.
Yeah, dog bones, that's a great idea.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, there you go.
Yeah, interesting, but...
Very, very interesting.
Meh.
Okay. There's your coffee segment. Let's get into the action plan. And you're going to tell us how to not snub on our phones.
Yes.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Okay, give us our action plan. Before we do... Hey, real quick, I got to pitch the website. Go to the website, themorningstruggle.podbean.com. You get a newsletter. We got merchandise. We got other fun stuff, books, all that good stuff. Because this is all free.
Well, and you can email me because I'm also going to do a raffle each month.
Jesse does a raffle. So sign up for the newsletter, you get in. Email Jesse, you get in. There's a lot of cool stuff there. We want to make this as vast and broad as possible. So thanks for supporting all the initiatives and just listening. We appreciate you being part of the Morning Struggle family.
You guys are amazing.
That's all I got to say about that. Give me some action plan.
Here's the action plan. Okay. So we're going to have our phones. And you and I have had this conversation over and over and over about how do we make this sustainable? How do we not use our phones?
We've tried getting rid of the cell phones. We went only to Apple Watches because it's hard to play on the screen.
Yep.
That didn't work.
Yeah.
I couldn't rent a car.
Well,
we couldn't get an Uber.
Yeah.
It was really rough to function in the world without a smartphone.
Well, and even your job specifically right now, you literally couldn't not have a...
I could not have it.
Yeah, you have to be able to get text messages. You have to have people be able to alert you to various, you know, natural disasters and all kinds of stuff.
I have all sorts of apps on there for different mechanisms I can't get rid of.
Yeah,
and so... Most people are the same.
Yeah, which is incredibly frustrating because in theory, I could say, get rid of your phone, but that's not going to be a thing. So a lot of this is working within our willpower, which is nowhere near efficient.
Okay.
And setting up our lives in such a way where we are not so tempted to use our phones. So here we go. First, make a point of not bringing out your phone. So you're going to also silent your watch because now we have it on our wrist too, which is so frustrating for a period of time. So whether that's like a date or social interaction or during meditation, that kind of thing. But you make a point of having a time in which you're not going to be pulling out your phone.
So throw it on Do Not Disturb because you're going to be having a conversation with somebody or you're going to dinner, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Just put it on Do Not Disturb. I guarantee the world's still going to be spinning when you're done with your dinner.
Even if it's an emergency. Yep. Like, I know that sounds bad, but like...
Most emergencies are not emergencies.
Yeah. So if you can have a time frame, and I think every single day you should have something like this.
Okay. So every day have a block of time where you are disconnected.
Yeah. And,
or unavailable, I should say.
Unavailable. Yeah. Unavailable. Because the big thing, if you can add a social interaction in there, whether it's with your kids or your friends or your spouse or whatever the things are, you're going to get a lot more reward out of that than you are from your actual phone.
So how much time? Can I start small, like 5 minutes?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a long period of time. And it's not so much that we're looking for, you know, make sure you have 2 hours without your phone or that kind of thing. Because the reward system, it might be quite difficult for some people initially to not have their phone directly with them at all times.
Start small and go big.
Yep. And making sure, like, really interacting with your people, like being present is a big deal. So I want you to try to do that even if it's only for 5 minutes stints.
Okay. So start with little stints where you are unavailable.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, don't guilt people. And this is just a big piece.
Like, so when someone snubs you, don't guilt them.
Yeah. So your initial reaction might be to grab your phone and do the exact same thing.
Okay.
And that's a brain reaction. And I understand that it's hard to fight your brain. But with this, I think hopefully you can understand and hopefully have that insight that once you grab your phone, you're like, oh, I'm doing this because I feel socially distressed or socially
rejected.
Snubbed.
You're rejected.
You are rejected. You're trying to feel better. And so, because revenge actually does not work.
Revenge doesn't work. It doesn't make you actually feel better?
No, because you'll get that little dopamine for a second, and then you'll feel bad.
Okay.
Because you've acted maybe out of character than you normally would, or not the way that you would like to.
Okay, so just know it's going to be a quick bump and then a crash.
Yes.
So what do you do? Just walk really close to the person? You touch noses?
That is a fantastic idea.
Okay.
Yes. No, actually what it is I want you to stop, and I want you to look at the person in their eyes. And you're going to let them know how you feel. Okay? This is going to be awkward as all get out, especially if they're still currently on their phone. Okay? It's going to be hard. But you're going to make eye contact. You're going to say...
In a nice way, not, I'm still here. Or,
oh, yes, because we're not guilting.
We're not guilting them.
We're not guilting. We're being genuine with our interaction. And we're not going to be like, you're being rude. And this is socially unacceptable. It doesn't matter if it is or it isn't, because everybody's doing it.
Right.
Right? At this point, everybody has done it at least once in their lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not your grandma. I don't know.
No, she has never phone snubbed anybody.
No, but she makes intense eye contact.
She touches
with
noses
you.
If you pull your phone out. She will get right up in your face.
But it's really saying, hey, this social interaction is important to me. You just rejected me.
So you can say, hey, real quick, you got a quick minute. I just want to finish a few things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, this is important to me.
Yeah.
Can I just talk with you? Or, mm-hmm. Ooh, that hurts my feelings when you bring your phone out when I'm telling you about my inner workings.
Right.
Can we okay. not do that? Or can we silence the phone? Or, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time to do
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Not guilting, just being forthright with
okay.
what your needs are.
Up front. Okay.
And yeah. Quiet time. Now, when we were all little, we had quiet time where no one was on their screens and nobody did anything and everybody tiptoed around the house. This is when I want you to bring this back in. I want everyone to take some time to have their quiet time, no screens at all, because all of the screens are stimulus.
Okay.
And I want you to get bored. I want you to go into nature. I want you to build a fort. I don't know what you're doing, but I want you to have your own thoughts. Because as we're going along, all the stimulus, basically what I'm trying to do here is reduce your massive amount of stimulus.
And it we have tried this, and there is a threshold, just like an ice bath or a new exercise program. It takes a certain amount of time of being just really uncomfortable
yes.
before it becomes natural.
Yeah.
So with our kids, it's about 20 to 30 minutes.
Yes.
They are miserable and they are insufferable for yeah. about 20 minutes.
So whiny.
When you take everything off, you say, there's going to be no music. There's going to be no screens, no nothing. And about 20 minutes later, they're in the garage grabbing cardboard boxes and tape and scissors, and they're building a giant spaceship mm-hmm. and they're going to the moon. And it's amazing. But it yeah. takes that 20 minutes of them whining and complaining and being mean to each other to get into that. I'm the same way. It takes me a little bit of time.
And then we do this for our children, but we rarely do it for ourselves.
Okay.
So we might tell our kids, no more screens, but then we're literally on our phone.
I do that too.
I've done it too. So that's as an adult too, we need to take this time and be like, okay, for the next 20 minutes, and it's a physical reaction.
Right.
Your body wants you to go get that dopamine on your screen.
So you just know it's going to be rough. You're in the ice bath.
Yep.
It's cold. You say, I'm just going to get out. This is dumb. I'm going to get my phone out and be done with this uncomfortableness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you push through, there is a threshold where all of a sudden your creativity will come back out. And it's amazing. Your mind flourishes and you have the best day.
Yeah. And you have your own thoughts. And
okay.
that's the thing, is we're trying to reduce all of that stimulus so that you can come back down and be your own human again.
Okay.
Right?
I like it.
And then last, I want you to build on your relationships and make them a priority. Because relationships... Even the most antisocial type, not actual personality disorder, but someone who really doesn't like...
Introverted.
So, introverted.
Yeah.
So even the most introverted person needs some sort of social engagement. And so those are the things that actually bring a lot of life satisfaction. And so we don't do that so much now. We're a lot of times connecting through our screens instead of just one-on-one or in some sort of social physical setting. So what I want you to do is I want you to find a relationship that you can kind of build on and then make that a priority and how you would like that to be. So even if like human social interactions are uncomfortable for you right now, you can have an animal interaction, right? And really connect with that little animal or whatever and kind of build yourself up, because the physical interactions that you have with another creature is far more complex hormonally than a small dopamine reward system, than the slot machine on your phone very little things. If I was in a casino every day, my general life satisfaction wouldn't be very good.
It would tank, yeah.
Yeah, but if I'm able to connect with another creature, human being, animal, whatever that thing is, and I make it a priority, so I'm being very mindful about it, it brings a lot more life satisfaction. So even if you are socially distressed, even if you have been rejected, even if no one waves back at you, like I have a solid 20 return rate on that, 20%.
You do, yes.
It's so low. Even if that's occurring, if you have other social successes, you're much more likely to be able to weather the storm and be able to reinforce that later on. So it's really I know that I say this every single time, like make sure you're being mindful with your, you know, relationships, make sure you're being socially satisfied and that you're making it a priority. You're really thinking through it, but it for your brain, that is really where you get that happiness and satisfaction is through those interactions, not through the interactions on your phone.
More complex chemical reactions than just dopamine through those.
Yes.
So you if you get fubbed, let them know how you feel.
Eye contact. Yep.
Eye contact. Let them, and make sure you don't get your revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Then make sure you have times of boredom,
mm-hmm.
and your down times.
Mm-hmm.
Know that there's going to be a threshold for that.
Yep.
And then focus on those relationships.
Yeah.
And initiate those without your phone, right?
So yeah,
do things that maybe don't require phones.
Yeah, like or just put it away during that time frame. So if
you're walking your dog, be with your dog.
Yeah.
Sniff the flowers with your dog. if you're with your friend and you go for a walk or go rock climbing at the rock climbing gym or you go get a coffee,
mm-hmm.
you just put your stuff away and you're going to spend your time with them.
Well, cuz that's the thing. I understand we're going to have our phones.
And it's going to be a physical dopamine addiction to pull that phone out.
Yes, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to create other situations that also give you dopamine because then it releases the hold on the phone.
Okay. You're,
the phone is not the only dopamine that you get.
So just know if you pull your phone out, you're going to get quick dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're doing is harder and you're going to get better levels of chemical reactions.
Yes.
So just know, oh, I really want to put my phone out, but I'm not going to because I'm working on something.
Yep.
Is that what we're doing?
I am prioritizing this relationship. I'm going to be creative. Whatever the things are, you're going to get other dopamine responses because then it makes the phone draw
mm-hmm.
a little less because that's not your only dopamine response.
You can get dopamine all sorts of places.
All kinds of places, right. And just way more successful that way.
All right. So that's how to handle being fubbed and you wanting to fub others.
Yes, because
phone
all do it.
Snubbing.
Mm-hmm. Phone snubbing.
Okay, that's the action plan.
Uh-huh.
This one's just being more like a being mindful one.
Yeah, and understanding that you're going to have your phone and how we can actually put this practically into our life because, you know, we would love to be off the grid completely, but that's not an option.
Not gonna happen.
So how do we do this? This is the best way to move away from having the draw of the phone.
Okay. And just know it's going to be hard.
Oh, so hard, yeah.
Fail. Just keep working at it,
yep.
right? Okay, there you go. So that is fubbing. For all those of us who didn't know what this was, now we know and we actually can figure out how to not make it happen anymore in our world.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's all we have for today.
That's it.
Okay, well, let's go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.